I was in the village not only a few months ago.
All right.
How was it?
It's like being in an episode of Will and Grace.
So you quite enjoyed it, but Aaron would hate it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So it was really great on him, you know. Everyone's got shrill voices like Karen.
Oh, jeez.
That's my tempted Karen. Which sounded more like a Morty.
Oh, jeez, man.
Oh, jeez, Will.
I'm in a real identity crisis here, Al.
Nothing penetrates but Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
20.
Oh, grey, hot.
Hello and welcome to the Incomplete Series, your incomplete guide to every television series you've never watched or that you have watched and you just want to hear us talk about it. My name's Morgan, this is the podcast where we watch the very first episode of a television series and then the very last episode of a television series and try and just, you know, speculate as to what happened in the middle and speculate about the episodes. Joining me to do this is my good friend Jeremy Wiseman. Jerome.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. Do you have anything else to add to that?
He says we speculate about the episode.
Yeah, we'll leave it there. Aaron, how are you?
I'm great. I'm very much looking forward to getting stuck into Will and Grace.
As am I. Sorry, Jez. No, we'll come back to you.
Okay.
Scott, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. I want to hear what Jeremy has to say.
Yeah, good. So do I. Sorry, Jez.
Well, we don't really speculate about the episodes because we see those two episodes. We speculate about what happens in the middle.
No, well, we speculate as to what,
you know, adding
the,
more,
what the meaning of those episodes are. Like, what's the message?
Okay.
We're interpreting the show.
Interpreting.
I've got to go back to primary school, guys. I'll see you in 7 years.
We interpretate the episodes. Yeah.
And then after we've graduated, we then do a podcast?
And we speculate what happens in the middle.
Right, okay. I was confused.
It's speculation and interpret.
Can we expand on Scott going back to primary school?
Yeah, you never.
That'd be a really good reboot.
That'd be, yeah. Is it like a Billy Madison sort of situation? Yeah,
I do love now how before we get into each episode, we reboot Scott as a person.
Great idea.
He was. I've just heard this. You know, on the grapevine, word on the street is Scott was so smart that he finished grade one and then went straight to high school.
Wow.
So he's got to go back and redo. He was 8 years old when he was in year seven.
Incredible.
I missed a lot in my primary school life.
He went to uni at like 15. No, not even.
Like, so it's 11, a bit, it's like 12. It's like a Doogie Howser kind of thing.
Yeah.
So he never got his pen license?
No.
Oh, wow.
No, I still
write.
He writes unlicensed.
With a crayon.
You mean a grey lead?
Yeah, a grey.
HB? 2B?
HB.
Oh, 2B. Yeah. Ooh, nah, 1B.
Wait, what does the B mean?
Bold.
What's the H?
Hardly.
Hardly bold? Yeah. Why? What does that mean to anyone?
I don't know.
Hardly anything.
Means a lot to Scott, though.
I know you're not big on sports, Scott, but I would like you to go back and at least join like the under-9s basketball team.
Yeah.
Just be the rebound king.
I think I could have a shot.
Yeah.
I think that's the one team in which I would excel.
It's like, have you ever seen, what's that movie with Rob Schneider?
The Animal?
No.
He's definitely The Animal.
He's definitely in those movies. But with Bigelow. He's in that as well, but it's the one...
Just Gigolo 2, maybe?
No.
Male Gigolo.
The Carrot.
European Gigolo.
No, he's playing baseball. It's like it's him, David Spade.
Field of Dreams.
Oh, yeah, that one. No, it's him, David Spade.
Moneyball?
David Spade. Joe Dirt.
No.
We're going to keep going with this.
Just Shoot Me?
No. And John Heater's in it as well. It's not Napoleon Dynamite.
Blades of Glory.
But anyway, they play baseball against like all the kids' teams. And they're like the nerds. I can't remember what it's called, but they get like...
Benchwarmers.
And there's like they get like the Spanish guy to fill in and he's like drinking a beer and he's like 35, but he says, I'm 12. I am 12. He'd be like that.
Oh, okay.
So that's the most round. Thank you for making me round about explaining that.
A better example would have been that episode of 30 Rock where Jack had a little league team and he got Grizzin.com to play for them against a bunch of 9 year olds. They weigh about 400 pounds each.
That would have been a better reference.
Can I reveal?
Can we just cut
Morgan's that whole thing out? Could you just cut that out?
No, because I want to mention this little anecdote. There's not a lot that makes it through to this podcast that's like personal information about each of us.
Yeah.
But when I was 13, I won tickets to go to the Australian premiere of the Rob Schneider. God, we were mentioning it. European Gigolo, Juice Bigelow, European Gigolo.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you old enough?
Yeah, 13? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't really sound like you won anything.
Yeah. Well, I won the opportunity to meet Rob Schneider.
Oh, so. Did you actually meet Rob Schneider?
Yeah. Got an autograph from him.
Why has this never come up?
You've never mentioned this before.
Yeah, this has never been...
Well, we never mention anything that's like super personal.
So now that you know Rob Schneider...
super...
What a sensitive issue.
So now
what did he do?
Yeah. So you know Rob Schneider personally. You should get him on.
Oh, okay, cool.
They swapped personalities. So that's why it's so personal.
Like a Freaky Friday swap?
Yeah. Freaky Friday.
Right.
So, or like, what was that one that was sort of like Freaky Friday, but it was Jason Bateman and Ryan Reynolds? Not Ryan Reynolds.
Freaky Tuesday.
The kid.
I know what you're referring to.
Yeah, I know the film. Yeah. I just don't know.
They're both pissing in a fountain, and I thought maybe that happened with Rob Schneider. Yeah.
Can I share another personal memory?
Tell us your favorite personal anecdote.
Okay. Remember one time when we were like 12, and Scott called me to see if I wanted to come and see Master of Disguise with him.
Oh, wow, it's a bad movie.
And then it was like, yeah, I'll call you back when we're going to go. Like, it was going to be that afternoon. Never got a call back.
What?
What?
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember...
And you were talking about cutting off my mic, Jeremy.
What?
You betrayed Aaron.
You're horrible.
I remember...
And I still haven't seen it to this day.
He's still waiting for
that
call.
You ruined the opportunity to see...
Master of Disguise.
Well...
Some say he still waits by the phone every night.
Have you, like... Is this the first time you've ever mentioned it? You've been waiting 15 years
You guys live together. You've just been seeing...
I've gotcha Scott on air.
I remember going to see that film. We went with...
I don't.
I went with another one of our friends. It was the first time we...
Wait, what? Right. You took someone else? Right.
I did. And we went and we tried blue Pepsi.
and you denied Aaron.
What an
easy chance.
I tried blue Pepsi. Yeah.
There's so many things you've missed out on in life, Aaron.
Could have been so different. Maybe we should talk about Will and Grace, I think.
I think that's maybe more.
I
want to
know more about blue Pepsi. Was that a thing?
Yeah.
Really? Like clear Pepsi?
No, it was blue.
It was
clear Pepsi. You mean crystal Pepsi?
Crystal Pepsi.
Crystal meth.
Is that a thing?
It is crystal meth, yes.
Like how there's blue crystal meth in Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
It's the purest Pepsi.
Yeah. Okay. You get the best high.
Mm. Jez, what did you know about Will and Grace going into this podcast?
I don't know.
Had you seen bits and pieces at all?
Like, I knew the two supporting cast members were quite annoying.
Yes.
And that was about it.
Okay.
They both have really shrill... voices.
Mm-hmm. Megan Mullally really turns it up.
Oh yeah. Big time. She does. Yeah. And I do not enjoy it.
Aaron, what do you know?
Pretty much the same. Yeah. Megan Mullally. Is that how you say her name?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. Married to Ron Swanson.
Yeah.
Nick Offerman.
Really?
Yeah. In real life. Yeah.
She was Tammy 2 or Tammy 1.
She's Tammy 2. She's very funny.
She's funny in that. Yeah. And this is just...
Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah,
but no, I hadn't really seen it before.
Scott, you know much about Will and Grace?
Well, I'd seen little bits and pieces of it. Yeah. Here's another personal anecdote.
Eric McCormick? You met Eric McCormick?
Is that Will?
He's Will, the lead.
No, but he has had an impact on my life.
Interesting.
I remember seeing an episode of Will and Grace where he was on the phone and he'd just gotten out of the shower and he was like... He's talking on the phone to somebody and he's saying
and
like...
And then he's like, I'll call you back. And then he never did.
Inviting him to go to Master of Disguise.
That's a really good idea. I should maybe try that.
You saw Master of Disguise with Aaron McCormick and not me?
I did. We both met Rob Schneider. It was great. Anyway, he's on the phone and he's like saying like, we've got to finish this phone conversation because my hair's about to be completely dry and I've got to like style it before it's completely dry or else it's going to look shit. And for some reason, that's never left me. And every time I'm like drying my hair, I just like think about it, like, well, I shouldn't completely dry it because or else it might not be as good. So I don't know why.
You've never had dry hair since.
No.
He's got a baster.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
Keep him at all times.
I was wondering why he always carries that around. Yeah. Now it all makes sense.
So this show has had an impact on me.
Interesting.
There you go.
Scott's style tips. Yeah, new segment. Never let your hair dry. Ever.
Ever.
Under any circumstances.
So he's got trench foot on his scalp.
I'll be interested to hear, like, so each week you can get a new style tip from a new celebrity that we've done on the show that we've done.
Oh,
so
I like that.
Thank you, Eric McCormick.
Cool.
Scott style tips, new segment. Mm.
As for me, I knew a little bit about this show because my sister was a big fan of this. When I was growing up, I saw bits and pieces. So I know some of the celebrity boyfriends that Deborah Messing has throughout the series.
Was that the same as Dawson's Creek?
She liked Dawson's Creek. Oh, I know.
Same sister.
Same sister, yeah. I've only got the one. there's a few shows that we will run into.
She likes more than one show.
Yeah.
Surprisingly.
Will and Grace and The OC were the two. And Dawson's Creek were all at the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, should we jump into episode one?
Let's do it. The show opens with our two staple characters. Will Truman, a gay middle-aged lawyer, and Grace Adler, a straight Jewish interior designer. After playing a variation of charades with Will, she reflects on her relationship with her long-term boyfriend, Danny, and how they don't have the kind of connection that her and Will have.
Grace, you and Danny never do this well when we flirt.
I know.
I want to break up with them.
However, she returns having Danny propose to her. She's going to say yes, and Will doesn't approve.
She's your best friend, Will. You have to tell her what you think. Be honest.
I can't.
Meanwhile, Will's camp friend Jack is attempting to move into Will's apartment with varying success. We're also introduced to Grace's friend slash employee, Karen, a millionaire assistant clearly just hanging around for the drama.
Karen, tell Grace she should fire you.
Grace, tell Will to redirect his anger at his mother where it belongs.
After trading blows with Will, Grace attempts to elope at City Hall. She bails out though, and instead, her and Will get a drink at the local pub, whose clientele is for some reason infatuated with the two of them.
Kiss, 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 kiss.
They share a kiss, but reveal they feel nothing for each other sexually. And that's it for episode 1 of Will and Grace. And that's it.
Episode 1.
I mean, of course they feel nothing for each other sexually because he's gay. And shocker. They established that early. So what? Why was that even added in?
Yeah.
It's very strange. I think it's there to sort of set up their unconventional relationship.
Incredibly close, but still platonic.
Yeah, because it seems like that's what the show... Like, obviously the show's about them because it's called Will and Grace, but it's like they're...
Oh, how great would it be if, you know...
Yeah. Well, they won't, they, but they can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Which is an interesting idea.
In theory.
Yeah. In theory.
In practice.
Yes.
I think you've exhausted like the full breadth of opportunity in the first episode.
Yeah. They actually covered a fair bit of plot. Like just listening back to that description, I was like, did that all happen in the first episode?
Yeah, she gets proposed to, almost gets married, and then
they have a falling out and they get back together as friends, which I have a feeling happened a lot.
I noticed that Jack is the bud. But they're just ripping on him all the time about like
yeah that poker game.
Yeah, like
About how gay he is. And like, he's not that camp in the first episode either. Like
He's a little camp,
but he's not anywhere near as much as he is in the final episode. Yeah,
it's dialed right up to 11.
Yeah, he's like a 2 out of 10 on the camp scale, I reckon.
On the first one?
Yeah.
I reckon he's still pretty camp. He's still like, you know, walking with like the birdcage and
the final episode.
The film. The birdcage. That's a 10.
I thought he was still pretty camp. I mean, compared to Will, who's like not camp at all, just like a real straight laced sort of character. You wouldn't, and there's no indication. Until the first 30 seconds they establish that he's gay, but apart from that, there's no, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't play a huge role. Yeah.
Will's a pretty boring character though, right?
He's very boring.
He's pretty dull. There's not much going on.
He's a lawyer.
He's there to kind of help Grace through her shit, basically.
She seems to be the interesting one of the two. He's just like neat and boring.
And alone as Grace zings at him.
I just want you to be happy.
No, Will, you want me to be alone like you.
Most of the zings are all just gay jokes.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Which is very conflicting.
Yeah, because
like this is like touted as a show that like really helped the gay community come into mainstream culture, mainstream TV. But just watching it, I just feel like it has not aged well.
No, it hasn't.
But I guess it's like maybe it's like a stepping stone. Like I guess if you look at any sort of like representation of any community, the further you go back, the more like jarring it is and less progressive it seems. So like maybe at the time, I'm trying to think of other shows that sort of cropped up around. That's what, like when was Queer as Folk?
Mid-2000s?
Yeah. This was like... Oh, what
98.
Yeah. 98 to 05.
Yeah.
Queer as Folk maybe early 2000s. Yeah. That was a bit
long. But that was like the UK more one. Alternative.
Yeah.
Whereas this to get like a mainstream sitcom with great gay characters is obviously a good step. Mm. But they had to plug into the mainstream sitcom mold of those like shitty stereotypical jokes.
People having cracks at each
and
other.
Yeah. And it's like gay jokes, racist jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just...
And Jack,
I find, well.
And with the character, with the two like lead character, I mean, two male characters, both gay. Will being straight laced and quite, you know, very like relatable, but then like Jack is just a total caricature of a gay New York man, just in the way he acts, the way he dresses, and what he does. Mm. So I see what you mean by like this is this sort of bridge, and it seems a little dated. I actually got some laughs in the first episode. I thought it's not a bad show in comparatively to the shows we've watched. This is reasonably well written. You can
that's
see
what
this,
I was
this had a wide appeal.
That's what I was thinking, and like the performances are We're getting into real review territory
here.
So performances, I thought, were,
actually, like, pretty good. Yeah,
pretty solid, yeah.
The actor,
I'm
the,
not a fan.
The actor that plays Will was pretty, he's pretty good.
Eric McCormick.
Yeah, he was. It's
well down the list on me for the shows we've done.
Seriously? Okay.
Yeah, I just found it really grating. Just like, maybe it is because it's aged so poorly, but.
A canned laughter as well, I just.
Yeah,
laughter's not good.
Like, it's that same thing we said in Home Improvement. You're throwing so much shit at the wall, a couple of jokes are going to stick.
Yeah. No, I thought it was better, a bit sharper than that. I didn't hate it as much. I don't know why you hated it so much. I thought it was okay.
The canned laughter, or the live audience, or however they did it, was off tap. Like, that audience was hooting. Yeah. It was too much. Like, I would, when you're like watching a show and you're like singling out a single person in that audience, like, no, this is, you've gone too far. Like, just dial it down.
That one for the, woo! who goes to a live studio audience and hoots like that?
Yeah.
No one.
I want to point out a couple of cameos. First of all, a guy in the poker game where Will kept zinging Jack was from Seinfeld.
Yes, he's the bad Breck Rupper.
Yes, a guy who got stabbed in the head with a fork by Elaine. That's right. He said she had a big forehead. Yeah. And of course, another one of our favorites from TIS.
Classic.
Naturally, that's after we do due diligence.
What the hell is due diligence?
No, Harlan, after we do due diligence.
Doesn't matter how slow you say it, Will. It's still doo-doo, isn't it?
I like how they got Bort to play it, and he was able to really show the diversity, the wide range he has as an actor.
Yeah, he's very accomplished.
You know, what's he played now? An oil baron and another oil baron. Yeah. And I saw him in, he's in an episode of The X-Files where he plays an oil baron.
Really?
No, he plays a sheriff. But, you know.
Did he pull it off?
It's a very convincing deep southern sheriff, yes.
I love Bort.
Me too, I'm a big Bort fan. It's not a great sign. We have not really talked about Will and Grace at all, because there's not a lot to. Even though a lot happens, there's something about sitcoms.
I think
sitcoms.
He popped up a lot in Saving Private Ryan.
Are you talking about the bullet again?
That opening scene.
You know what I want to do?
He plays a few hundred thousand different characters.
Wow. Like I said, he's got a wide range.
I want to see you Photoshop that so all the bullets are.
Bang, 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 bang.
Yeah.
Should we get back to Will and Grace?
Yeah.
Well, this is Will and Grace.
It's Bullet.
Yeah. Bullet and Grace. Yeah. it is so strange in that final scene where Will and Grace are in the bar.
I thought that
and
as well.
How many people are in
such
that bar?
Such a weird bar. There was a very full bar.
45 people at least. Probably see.
But there was no.
And they're all just listening to them talk.
I love in TV shows as well how bars don't really have a sort of, you know, you go into a bar and it attracts a certain sort of crowd. Mm. Whereas in TV shows, it's just representative of the whole community. Like, there was an 80-year-old couple there and like a truckie and
a young family.
A young family. It's like they just get everyone in.
Mm. Yeah.
And they're always very well lit.
Yeah. Mm. Yep. Really well lit. And like you said, they're hanging on every word that they're saying. The whole bar is crowded around their like two stools.
So this is with Grace in her wedding dress after she ran away from the elopement.
And
Will.
Will's got the Hasselhoff suit on.
Exactly. And they're kind of pretending to be the newlyweds. And so everyone's like hearing their anecdotes. They're pretending to say how much they love them as the couple. Mm. And then everyone's like, kiss, kiss, kiss. So they do like that kiss and the entire bar just goes silent. It's so eerie. Like, they just do that kiss and imagine being in that room.
It's like you're on another,
really, really creepy.
It's like on another planet. Like, this is not how humans do.
No. So someone who's just been told secondhand stories of how humans act and then it's like, all right, now you write a bar scene. Oh, I guess I've sort of got this. Never seen a human
get
before.
One of each human.
Yeah. I would point out as well, the show was set in The Village in New York, and they love setting any sort of like sitcoms in the. So I think How I Met Your Mother set in The Village, Friends are set in The Village. Like, I've got three examples, but still,
that's
they
enough.
Love
that's a lot.
Setting
that's
in
probably
village.
More.
That's
probably
there'd
more.
Be a lot. It's something about The Village I think is just very aesthetically pleasing for sitcom audiences.
We clearly know our New York geography.
Mm. Mm. I was in The Village not only a few months ago.
All right,
How was it?
It's like being in an episode of Will and Grace.
So you quite enjoyed it, but Aaron would hate it.
Yeah.
Oh, terrible. Yeah, it was really great on him, you know. Everyone's got shrill voices like Karen.
Oh, jeez.
That's my tempted Karen. Which sounded more like a Morty. Morty. Oh, jeez, man.
Oh, jeez, Will.
I would prefer it if Karen was replaced by Morty. That would make a much better show. Mm.
On that note, should we jump into episode 2? The finale, rather.
The Will and Grace finale kicks off with pregnant Grace having a weird flash-forward dream where her and Will have aged terribly, they're miserable, and Jack is married to Kevin Bacon.
So, Kevin, how does it feel?
You know, something is right, you just know it. To love somebody truly and forever until God takes us, either from old age or erotic asphyxiation because you're hanging upside down, you got heels on and a scarf tied around your neck.
Grace wakes up and she's living with Will, but when her ex-boyfriend Leo comes back and proposes to her, her and Will have a falling out. We jump 2 years forward, and Will and Grace haven't spoken to each other, so Jack and Karen hatch an ingenious Parent Trap-style plan to mend their friendship. In amongst all this, Karen has gone broke, so she forces Jack to haul himself out to a rich, old, short gentleman who he hates.
Now you stop being such a tease. It is time for us to consummate this union. I'm going to go put in a Magnum PI rerun to get in the mood.
Luckily, the old man is literally blown off the balcony of his apartment and Jack inherits all his money. We jump another 20 years forward where Will and Grace have drifted apart but reunite at college after their kids turn out to be dorm neighbours.
You look good.
Thank you. You don't look at anything like your mother.
Oh, thank you.
Will and Grace, along with Karen and Jack, go out for a drink to celebrate all being back together just like old times. And that's the end of Will and Grace.
A lot of jumping.
Yeah, it was confusing. Yeah. I was confused. So why did they drift apart again in the end after they'd been rekindled? Like, there was no real reason. They just...
Yeah, so when they rekindled after the two-year break and they saw each other for the first time and they were reminiscing and they were all happy, they were like, oh, we should see each other again. What are you doing tomorrow night? Oh, I'm busy. How about you Friday? Oh, I'm busy. Oh, we'll call each other. We'll figure it out.
So just sort of naturally
drifting. Yeah, and then...
So we're meant to believe that they go like 16 years without seeing each other.
I guess.
Yeah.
It just doesn't...
Like, which is weird.
It seems unfulfilling.
And when their other two best friends are best friends with the other one, you'd think that group of four would still be together.
Once in 16 years. Yeah. At least once. Come on. They were like inseparable, right?
Yeah. And they at least definitely know each other's kids. Like, that wouldn't just happen. By chance.
You wouldn't be like, I didn't know that your kid was going to college at the same place as my kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it also completely undercuts the ending of them meeting each other at their kids' respective kids' college and then going like, oh, do you want to go get a coffee or a meal or whatever? Because like what? Like they could just do that again and then it'd be another 20 years and they wouldn't see each other. Like,
yeah. You've already done this once.
Yeah. Like it feels like the natural ending should be, oh, well, like they can be friends again.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It completely undercuts it.
It doesn't make any sense. With the opening dream sequence, I sort of thought that maybe this was also a bizarre dream sequence ending.
Mm. Yeah.
This is what could... their lives could potentially be like. The little man flying off the balcony. That's not real, right?
That was in the two-year jump canon. Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
It doesn't
what
seem
the
like
fuck
it.
Was that?
We meant to know who he is. Is he like a famous...
Nah, he's clearly been a character throughout the show.
He kept propositioning Jack.
Yeah.
Saying he wanted a business partner.
Mm.
Based on that ending, where it really basically ties up the next 20 years of the characters, more or less... Mm. I can't, because we know that they rebooted. They've actually commissioned two seasons of the Will and Grace. Yeah, I thought it was only one, but like, so they've greenlit two seasons of this Will and Grace reboot. If they've already tied it off in that sense, 20 years forward, what are they going to do in the middle when it's already sort of indicated they didn't see each other?
I think it has to be because they've jumped forward, they've aged considerably, whereas it actually ended only 10 years ago, right?
Yeah, 10 years ago.
So they'll probably play it off as like a dream sequence or like an alternate reality or something weird like that.
Maybe they still could have like had just they drifted apart for 10 years and they still saw each other sometime in between.
That's true.
Or they'll just ignore that last episode and just pick up where they left off. Which is probably more likely.
The man didn't fly out the window? Can we talk about that more?
No.
It's so weird. We'll have to put up a gif of it, but it's a very short man. He's 4'11", the actor.
Oh, wow.
And he goes out on the balcony.
And he gets blown away. It's pretty ridiculous.
Jack mentions that he doesn't go out on the balcony because he's afraid of...
He's afraid.
The wind's going to
come up. And he opens the door and he's like, ooh, it's pretty blustery today.
Ooh! A little blustery. Well.
Yeah. If he thinks he's out on the balcony, he doesn't need to step out on the balcony.
No, you can look through a window.
Yeah, look through the window. Pull the curtains aside, open the door and poke your head out.
It gives credence to the fact that because Jack and Karen are just, are both just complete caricatures of people. They're not real people.
No,
like, those
not.
People do not exist, which is why they, like, I think their storylines would have been more...
a bit more bizarre.
Yeah, more ridiculous.
Mm. Yeah.
And the drama side, like, the more of the drama side was coming from Will and Grace.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why. Because I think it's the thing is, it was meant to be an absurd joke, but it is very out of place.
Yeah.
In
the,
that show.
The absurdity, I don't quite understand. Like, a lot of these jokes don't make any sense. Like, they make sense as a joke in that it's like, oh, here's the setup and here's the punchline. But inside of the world that the show inhabits, doesn't make any sense. So it's like the guy getting picked up by a gust of wind, which is obviously not possible. But there's also a scene where and Karen are on the phone and they're both like having a bath.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is that like they're having a bath separately because you're only seeing like close-ups of them. And then it reveals that they're in the same bathtub.
I get what you're saying.
Which it makes sense as a joke. But it doesn't make sense as an actual thing in the situation.
No.
Which is like, it's absurd, well, but...
Because it's very, like, it's...
Because why would they be... I mean, it sounds like I'm just like a real buzzkill and I just don't like the jokes. But like, why would they be on the phone to each other in the bar?
When the rest of the show is very realistic.
Yeah.
Or realistically portrayed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think maybe, I mean, it's hard. I mean, again, this is because we did not watch the middle. It probably, that... I mean, a lot of the times, there's absurdity that side can... develop as the show progresses.
Yeah.
And
you'd
like,
be more used to it by the time.
And like I said, with Jack and Karen being such caricatures of characters, like, and like I said, with their more absurd storylines, something like that's probably not. I mean, I just see what you mean, where it seems it within when you the go world, that doesn't make any sense. But there, for them, it does.
But if it was a steady progression, like you're saying, Morgan, then you probably just get accustomed to it over time. Whereas we've gone from the, you know, straightest.
Yeah, straightest episode.
Oh, I didn't actually mean to.
Where's the laugh track for that guy?
Can we put a push in there?
Classic to their, like, the most absurd jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's giving the show too much credit. I reckon they just cram jokes in wherever they can.
You're probably right. I think we're overthinking Will and Grace.
I think the worst moment for me was in the last episode when... So Will is now married and he and his husband have a child.
Yeah.
Who they got through a surrogate. Someone said about
Chef Jeff from season 2 of Master of None.
Yes, correct. Also in Ant-Man and Chef.
He's also he's also in The Other Guys. He's one
very
of the
thick eyebrows.
He's one of the cops. He's one of the cops in the circle where they're talking about firing off their weapons. And he's like he's telling the story about he's telling the story about, you know, my partner threw me a shotgun. Let's even the odds. Sorry.
So that's Will's husband. And someone's talking to Will about the baby. He's like, oh, when I look at your baby, I can really see the resemblance. And Will says, when I look at my child, all I can see is the sad girl who sold her eggs for rent money. Which is such a horrible thing to say.
Yeah. That's absolutely
don't
brutal.
Have a surrogate child if that's how you're going to approach it.
It's like she only carried your child for 9 months
joke.
And gave birth to it.
Yeah.
For probably no money
in
actuality.
Yeah.
I'm back onto the story.
hashtag fuck Will.
Yeah. All right, let's drum up support for this.
Yeah, I can't see how... So when Leo comes back into Grace's life, she takes off with Leo. I can't see how, you know, how Will would be upset with her going off with the father of the child.
Yeah, I don't know. How would they, if they're any sort of friends, just have a conversation about it?
Yeah.
Just she should understand how the other person feels and accept that,
oh,
I want to go live with the father of my child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deal with that.
Yeah. Instead,
they just blow up and have a falling out for 2 years.
Yeah.
Over
something where Grace...
Grace is the one trying to apologize to Will.
Yeah.
She says she called him 100 times and he never answered.
Yeah.
Hashtag fuck Will.
Fuck Will.
Fuck Will, I reckon Will's in the wrong there. She probably should have said something before she left, but she still tried to make amends for it.
But then she also got annoyed at him for not moving to Rome with her and her husband.
Fuck Grace.
Fuck Grace. Yeah. Hashtag fuck Will and Grace.
They're just the worst friends.
I'll tell you what that's like. It's like calling your friend and going, hey, I'm going to see Master of Disguise.
Oh,
and then going with someone else to go and getting blue
pictures. Hashtag like fuck blue. Scott.
Fuck Scott.
Hashtag.
You're a real Will.
Hashtag
real
Will. Fuck 15-year-old Scott. What an asshole. No, well, maybe not.
Yeah.
All right. I'll take that back.
Yeah. We don't want to be podcast.
But that's not to say that Karen and Jack are any better friends. Because Karen has gone broke and her solution is... have Jack go have sex with an old man that he absolutely hates and basically steal his inheritance.
Yeah. Well, the idea is that that's what Karen was doing to her husband, Stanley, who...
That doesn't make any better, though.
Is a character that you never see? Is that right?
Is it like Maris in Frasier?
Point your heels to the sky and think of Jesus or something?
Yeah.
Think of handbags.
I think of handbags. Not think of Jesus.
Close.
That's a weird turn for the show.
Just wait for him to get blown out a window.
Yeah, pretty much. This show is also guilty of the final... We should drum up some sort of name for this, but like the final episode meta reference.
Yeah.
When Jack and Karen are in the bathtub.
It's like all people see when they look at us are the supporting players on the Will and Grace show.
Woo! Love that hooting.
I hate those jokes.
Yeah.
It's so pointless.
I don't know if it's like just because like we see a lot of them. Like maybe if it was just in like a show that you watched, it'd be fine. But
yeah.
What sort of response are they trying to elicit? Like people at home going,
I get it. It's a fan
joke. You are the supporter.
Yeah.
But which fans?
But it's not even us, it's not even a smart fan joke. Yeah. It doesn't even like anyone we pick. But you don't even have to. It's not rewarding people committing to the show.
Put yourself in the mindset of a Will and Grace fan though.
Yeah.
Like if you've watched how many
190 something?
178.
There's a lot of episodes.
Yep.
And let's say that there haven't been that many meta references. By the time it gets to there, I think you'd be pretty on board with a meta joke.
But like, I think you'd, make you'd a smart like, one? I don't know.
Yeah. It's definitely not smart. It's
no Dawson's Creek.
You get the joke after having watched two episodes. So that just shows what level of knowledge of the show you actually need.
Yeah, it's always a throwback, or often a throwback to the first episode.
Yeah, which is why we...
Because when they meet up, the four of them meet up at the bar at the end, that was the same bar that they went to in the first episode.
That might be why we get so irrationally mad at these things, because we watched the first and last episode in succession. We pick up on the stupid throwbacks.
And we watch exclusively shit shows. Yeah. Except for Quantum Leap.
That was amazing.
This show from episode one to the finale, though, was pretty easy to understand what's happened across the whole.
Yeah.
It was, I think of all the shows that we've watched, this one from 1 to 178, it was the easiest to put together.
Standard
sitcom.
Yeah, standard sitcom. Not much changed.
How far do you reckon they pushed the will they, won't they thing?
I was just about to say that.
What do you mean?
Yeah. That would have been a bit of a theme throughout the show, like Will and Grace, because they lived together. It was like... Would they become kind of each other's partners?
You're saying romantically involved?
Not necessarily.
I don't think
they're always sort of alluding to that they were they're soulmates. Look, so they're always together.
That soulmate scene was sort of going to be explored through, and it was meant to be in the lead up with Grace being pregnant with Harry Connick Jr.'s baby, and then Will becoming the father, and they'd have a mother and father, but in a non-romantic relationship.
Yeah, it's like a life partner sort of situation, yeah. I guess.
I
reckon they probably did have sex at one point.
You reckon? No, yeah. I don't think so.
I think so.
I find it very different. I'd be very surprised if that happened.
Be interested to know the answer to that.
How many times do you think they played off that they were a couple to get out of situations?
Like every second week.
Yeah. That would be very common. Yeah. Well, I wonder now, actually, going forward, because they're doing all these reboots through Netflix. Have they done a spin-off via Netflix or like a streaming service or Amazon? Has there been a spin-off version of something? Because I'd be interested to see. I mean, that seems like a format you could really explore more. Like,
because it's not, you're not committing to trying to get on TV.
No, because
opened up the market for...
Yeah, but that doesn't think anyone's really
still
explored
need to,
it yet.
You still need to buy the rights off
something.
Whoever owns the rights, it's less committal than trying to get something on TV.
Yeah.
You just do like a one season thing.
Yeah.
Whatever, produce it on the cheap, chuck it up on Netflix.
So they could...
Yeah.
So if Netflix,
see how it goes.
I think it'd be specific for very specific shows. I think a lot of shows are tied up in contracts with certain...
Networks.
Networks, yeah. Okay. In that they can play reruns and that...
Yeah. Oh,
right. Like the IP then belongs to the station, so they'd have to buy it off them.
What are we thinking?
Well, I nothing in particular, but off the top of my head.
Baywatch Nights Days?
Yes, Baywatch Nights Days.
Baywatch Late Nights.
Or Baywatch Land. It's like a...
Land Watch?
Yeah, Lake Watch. So it's just like in Missouri and it's like on just watching a lake. It's retired. I don't know. But we'll flesh that out and we'll sell it to, I don't know, the CW or CBS or something.
Yeah. Mm. Also, not Netflix. This is going straight to network TV.
Big time. Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. Did you not listen to everything Scott said?
Oh, right.
They're tied up in contracts. It'll be easier this way for some reason. Look, I think I'm personally a little bit out of Will and Grace. Can we reboot this bad boy?
Oh, before we do.
Yes.
One scene we didn't discuss was the way that they parent trap Will and Grace getting back together is they both tell them, Jack and whatever her name is.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Tell them to, like, they're in hospital or something. Someone's in hospital and they go, and Will goes and sees this guy who's in like a full body cast.
Mm.
Who starts just like gay bashing him.
Yeah. Because Jack comes in and he's like, Will comes in. He's like, oh, Jack, I hope you're all right. I mean, you've done so much for me. You helped me come out, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Which is a weird thing to start saying. Like,
sure,
you'd just be like, oh my God, are you all right? Like, try to see a doctor or something. But he just professes all this stuff. And then the guy's, what does the guy say?
I don't know. He's
like, something really homophobic.
Starts quoting the Bible.
Calls him fairy or something.
Scripture, yeah.
Yeah.
Back off, fruitcake.
Sorry, thought you were my friend.
Well, I'm not, pickle biter.
Real barbed stuff.
Yeah.
It's pretty harsh. And then Will kisses him on the way out because he's in a full body cast and the guy just says, call me.
Yeah.
It's another one of these jokes. Shit. It just doesn't make any sense. Just like
real lowbrow gay jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That trying to spin them as being like pro gay.
Yeah, just because it's on TV.
Yeah, and the character's positive. Gay, but it's still like...
It's very strange.
But what do we know? Vice President Joe Biden said the show was a trailblazer for the LGBT community. That it's done, what did he say? I think Will and Grace probably did more to educate the American public than almost anything anybody has ever done so far.
Ever in all of history?
Or that's what he said.
That's a very open-ended
presumably
statement.
About...
television or...
They're saying
about the LGBT community.
They say Friends taught like... It's like a main conduit for teaching like foreign baseball players how to speak English.
Really?
Yeah, it's all these like Spanish, like guys from like Puerto Rico. It's like, oh, I just watch Friends. And that's how they learn English.
That's incredible. Yeah. They all just speak like Matthew Perry.
I thought you were going to say
it's very like sarcastic.
Really helped America embrace the Italian American community. Joe Tribbiani.
Yeah.
Joe Biden, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, is our list this week Biden related?
Okay. It's not. Okay. I'll drum one up for another week.
All right, good.
Great. Now should we move into reboots?
Yes.
More than happy to.
Excellent. Aaron, do you want to kick us off?
Sure. Basically focusing on how horrible all these characters are, I wanted to just turn this show into an episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, brilliant.
So obviously Frank will take the role of the short rich gentleman and he's just trying to bang Dennis.
Yep.
And Dee will play Grace, Mac is Will, and Charlie is Karen, because there's a lot of scenes where Karen just downing the bottle of vodka, talking about how she was huffing some chemicals from the bathroom. I think that'd suit her well.
Perfect.
Yeah, so it just basically cuts out the bullshit of them being a
pretending
network
that they're good
sitcom.
People.
Yeah, they can just go straight into the grim It's Always Sunny lifestyle.
Get their hands dirty.
Yeah, so it's just Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Frank bangs Dennis.
Oh, creepy.
Oh, that's incredible. I can see that happening.
Yeah, that's an episode of It's Always Sunny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Frank gets blown out the window.
But has that happened? He falls out a window in one episode.
He does, and cracks his skull.
Much more realistic, though.
Exactly. I think.
On that note, Scott, what have you got for us?
So I decided to go down a similar road in that these characters aren't great people. Specifically, I've decided to focus on Jack and Karen. So this is like an additional season on the end. So let's pretend that they're not actually rebooting it, or maybe that this is what they're rebooting. Essentially, Jack and Karen have blown all of this guy's money. They don't have any money left, and so they need to find a way to fund their crazy side stories, adventure things. So essentially what they're going to do is go about town, find rich gentlemen and get into relationships with them and then murder them.
Okay.
Get them to essentially to be the first person on their will and then...
And their grace.
and then find a way to off them in order to get their inheritance. And basically they just hop from older gentleman to older gentleman to older gentleman.
As in the gentlemen get progressively older or
older gentlemen? That's the rule. That's the only rule they abide by. So, yeah, essentially it's just them going around killing people. So the show's called Jack and Karen Kill Replace.
Ah.
Or Kill and Replace. One of the two.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so it's basically just them embracing their awfulness, and really just going whole hog.
No Will and Grace in it at all? Just Jack and Karen?
No. Maybe they killed them. I don't think so, yeah.
Get Sean Hayes and Megan Mullally back in for those roles? Mm.
Yeah, I think they'd be happy to get the role. They're not in much nowadays, are they?
No, they do.
They pop up here and there.
Yeah. I think you're giving them too much credit there, Morgs.
If they could get their own show, they'd take it.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's the guy that plays Jack?
Sean Hayes.
Yeah, what's he been in?
He's in an episode of Scrubs.
When did Scrubs finish?
Shut up. No, I see Megan Mullally and stuff.
He looks like he got beat out for John Cryer's role in
Pretty Little Cries.
He looks a lot like John Cryer. He does. Is all I'm trying to say.
I feel like the jig would be up quite quickly for them. If you're a cop and you find out someone just got put on to the will of a murdered person.
Yeah.
Probably prime suspect.
Well, they're just really good at covering their tracks.
Maybe it never looks like a murder.
Yeah. People getting blown out of windows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that going
to
happen?
So explain this to me again. He was blown out of a window.
That's what I said.
The wind picked him up.
Don't you understand?
Well, I'm going to talk to you about my reboot, which I was pretty happy with. So mine picks up after finale part one. The finale was a two-parter.
Which was the intersection.
So when Grace takes off with Harry Connick Jr.
Okay.
So we pick up
2 years later.
Yeah. We pick up from there. After she takes off and Will comes back and discovers that she's gone and their plans are, you know, on fire. And he's kind of, rather than go meet that other guy, he kind of just goes and gets a bit depressed and he really struggles with it. So, and he kind of just has trouble finding meaning in his life. So he needs a change. So he leaves New York and he joins the Navy. So this is a season. So Grace is out of it now.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's just about Will, and there's no Jack and Karen. Always there, Karen. And so he joins the Navy, but you know he's a lawyer, so he puts his skills to use in the JAG department. and then he gets paired up with a Marine lawyer named Gretchen, played by Aisha Taylor. I've decided.
You love crowbarring her in.
I do, really do. And they're under the command, like the JAG commander.
It's more brutal than a shoehorn.
Yeah. The JAG commander.
It's much more ill-fitted.
Is the admiral. His name's Jack. It's played by Nick Offerman. He's a real straight-laced, hard man. Yep.
Wait, is he the CAG?
He's the CAG. He's like the lawyer. He's like the main lawyer guy. Anyway, but Karen is in this because she lost all her money rather than, you know, and let's say Beverly didn't get taken off by the wind and the whole thing. Anyway, so she's back and she's working there as Will's assistant at the JAG.
At the base.
Yeah, so basically it's the new series. It's essentially JAG but with Will and Nick Offerman as the admiral. And it's, you know, because his partner is Gretchen. It's Will and Gretchen, or better known as WAG.
Yes.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's my reboot of...
Is there any crossover with previous JAG?
Bits and pieces. Yeah.
Some David James Elliott.
So they go to London at
some
point. Bud appears.
Nice.
And Nick Offerman just hates him. Just rag on him big time.
Of course he does. Bud.
Yeah. I'd watch just for that.
Karen would just tear him apart as well. So, yeah, WAG.
Is he still as much of an arsehole as he is in Will and Grace?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why he's a JAG now.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Makes sense.
He's a David James Elliott type.
Not a womanizer though, more of like a man-anizer.
Oh, that's a weird term.
Yeah. I don't know what that
is. Man-anizer. Anyway.
Man-eater?
Isn't that the equivalent?
Yeah. Yeah. Never heard a man referred to as a man-eater before though.
That
could be a thing.
Misanthropy? Yeah. Is that what it is? Misanthropist? I don't know.
Anyway. Jez, your reboot.
So it's very similar in that it's just
JAG.
Similar to mine?
It's just JAG.
David James Elliott plays JAG.
No, it's similar to the show. I've just swapped out the characters. But
is it Grace and Will?
No. So
Bill and Grace?
Bill Murray and
Phil and Jace.
And Tracy Morgan, a gay couple living in New York. Living together.
Yep.
And it's called Bill and Trace. and playing their two supporting characters are Tina Fey and Jack McBrayer.
Because
I figure, you know, Tracy Morgan, he needs some 30 Rock cast members in there with him to keep him on the straight now. And that's it.
That would be a hell of a lot better than Will and Grace.
Bill and Trace.
Yeah.
I'd watch that. It's no wag, but
no, it's just that's it. That's all I got. This show didn't give me much to go on.
I must admit, it wasn't the easiest one to reboot.
It's a simple show, so I think a simple reboot fits.
Yep.
Yeah.
Way too much laugh track. Obviously.
A lot of hooting.
Yeah. Just can't hear of any wooing. Of the characters
or
speaking.
Only hooting. Yeah,
just it's screaming. All like they never stop laughing. Yeah. That's the thing.
Sounds great. Oh, well, that was Will and Grace. Final thoughts, Jez. Final thoughts on Will and Grace. Would you watch any more of it?
Don't bother with the two extra seasons, guys. It's not worth your time.
I'm going to be interested to see what they do with it.
Mm. I'm not.
Okay.
Aaron, we already know your thoughts. I despise the show. I can't believe that you've hated it that much more than some of the
others. It just sucked. And it wasn't the worst show we've watched, but it was the one I disliked the most.
Really just not your thing.
Yeah, it's really grating.
I would put it higher up in the list. There's some shows that we've watched where I would watch. I could watch. I won't, but I could watch this.
If you had to.
Yeah.
See, if I had to, I wouldn't.
No, but if it was on, I could have it on the background.
In what scenario are you ever gonna made to
turn it off straight away?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Scott,
just silence.
Absolutely,
I'd prefer silence. Mm. I didn't mind it too much. I thought there were some funny jokes in there. I'd like to think that it got better as it went along, and maybe your episodes around season three would be pretty enjoyable. But yeah, I don't know. It's dated a little bit, so yeah. I can't imagine going back and watching it. I think the only people who would be going back and watching it
would be fans.
Would be people, who've already seen it.
I think there are just so few good network sitcoms since Seinfeld, but after that, there aren't a lot
with great rewatchability.
Yeah,
I'd
say what 30 Rock and The Office would be up there for me. But 95% of them.
Community's really good.
But that's
almost like an anti-sitcom sort of thing.
That's not like one of the main, most of the main popular.
You're talking like a How I Met Your Mother style.
Yeah, no, I just think the strike rate is just so low for American sitcoms.
I think it's always been that way.
If you
look at the scrap heap of the 90s, it's insane.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think Will and Grace is in that scrap heap. I mean, it's got an audience. Pretty strong audience.
Scrap heap of an audience.
Yeah.
I do zero crossover.
After we get off these microphones, you and I are taking this outside.
That's right, let's go. It lasted 10 years, right?
Eight. Well, plus two.
Plus two. So 10 seasons. That's not too bad. You can hang your hat on that.
Yeah.
I don't know who the show creator was.
Belisario never. Oh, yes, he did. Damn it. Jag had 10 seasons.
Don't bring Belisario into this.
I already have.
Okay, Aaron. Is it time for our list?
Oh, I love these lists.
It is indeed. This week, we've gone with one from B. Campos, 862, the IMDb user. The name of this list, it's a little bit of a different vein than the other ones. This one isn't as ridiculous. It's my cast for a live-action Simpsons movie.
Oh, interesting.
Any guesses for who they've gone with? It is one of the main four characters.
Is it Eric McCormick?
It is not.
No. Sean Hayes?
It is Sean Hayes. Who do you reckon he would play in The Simpsons?
Is he playing Bart?
Bart, he's like 50 years old.
Well, it depends how far into the supporting characters of The Simpsons are they going?
They got 49 people.
Wow.
He's a fairly prominent Simpsons character. He's not a Simpson.
It's not the Zap guy.
No, it's not. He would absolutely nail the Zap guy.
Is it Dr. Nick?
No.
Is it Lenny?
No, it is Ned Flanders.
Sean Hayes is Ned Flanders?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Odd choice.
Mm. Nah.
The one that gets floated around on all these lists online is always William H. Macy
for
Ned Flanders.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That works. Works. Yeah.
Who'd they cast as Homer Simpson?
Will Sasso.
Yeah.
Fran Drescher as
Marge.
Marge. Yeah.
Ugh. No.
Jerry Stiller as Abe.
Yeah, I like that.
That's good.
Yeah. Donald Sutherland as Mr. Burns.
Donald Sutherland.
Yeah.
He's way too regal for that.
Yeah, I don't know how they'd get Donald Sutherland.
Jason Alexander as Kirk Van Houten.
That I can get on board with. That is an amazing casting. Is it Rainier Wolfcastle?
Ooh.
I assume they've got Dolph or Schwarzenegger.
Or Arnie, yeah.
Who's Mo?
There's a comedian that they...
I know who you're talking about.
They based him off.
Rich Hall?
Rich Hall,
Rich
yeah.
Hall.
Oh, I know Rich Hall. Yeah, yeah. No, that totally sense.
He's 100%.
Will Ferrell.
As Mo?
Yeah.
That's not good casting.
No.
He could do it, but it's not good casting. But it's an IMDb list, so...
As far as they've gone, this is the most reasonable. Yeah.
Sean Hayes is...
Will Ferrell would make a bit of Flanders.
He would.
Mm.
Yeah, I could see that.
Sean Hayes is Ned Flanders. He's just awful casting.
How do you like John Cena as Duffman?
I love John Cena as Duff Man.
I get on board with that.
That's a great Duff Man. Wow. Oh, well, another great list. That's actually probably one of the more sane lists, though, that we've
done.
That is the most sane list.
It kind of makes sense to make a list for this purpose.
Mm. You don't have to try and get into the psyche of the person that created it.
Yeah.
I did anyway, but you have to.
What the...
Because this person has made over 250 lists, and most of them are just people who have birthdays on a certain date.
How many of the...
But IMDb already has a function for that?
Yeah.
You can search people's birthdays?
That's how many of those... actors in the Simpsons cast have sons?
None. That was the qualifier.
Same
recasting the Simpsons live action for sonless actors.
I assume they're all better looking than Leonardo DiCaprio, though.
And more talented. Yeah. Honestly, girls.
Honestly.
All right. Well, look, on that note, I think we should probably tie things up. Jez, where can people find us online?
We are The Incomplete Series on Facebook and Instagram. And Podcast JS on Twitter, if you use Twitter.
Mm. And Scott...
Do we tweet? What was the last thing we tweeted?
It's a good question.
Who tweets?
Because
it's not me.
A lot of famous people tweet.
Do we have a guy? No, like for us.
Oh.
Who's our social media manager?
We are a social media guy.
Have we tweeted before?
We've tweeted before. We've tweeted about a dozen times.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, we got to start the hashtag fuck Will and fuck Grace.
And
that'll get some traction.
Fuck 15-year-old Scott.
No, let's not.
What an asshole.
No, Jeremy, please.
And Scott, the website.
You can head to theincompleteseries.com. Jump there for any additional extras, show notes. You can also submit your own reboot or submit a show that you'd like us to watch for you. I assume we're watching it for our listeners, not in addition, as well. I don't know. Some people might watch the first and last episode before they... Feel free to do that if you want.
Yeah.
Get the perspective we get.
It's probably a benefit, if anything. Yeah.
Mm. Our recaps are known to be very thin.
Naturally.
By those in the industry, meaning us.
All right, well, let's just leave it there. So thank you, Jez.
I just want to say one thing.
No.
Fuck 15-year-old Scott.
You can't say that. Yeah. I've got to bleep that out.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Jez.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
And thank you, Scott.
Cheers, folks.